Okay, world. We've got two Bruces this morning. Things are even better than usual.
Well, that's because my computer is still
Yeah,
not
we
working.
understand. We're going in for that crowdfunding. I understand you're holding out. Okay.
I wanted you to at least see me a little bit.
We're appreciative. Today's learning should be Li'ilui Nishmas Shmuel Hanina's father, Shlomo ben Ze'ev. So today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Hey. We were talking about the way that Yehoshaphat had gone to war together with Ahav, and Rav Yanai brought a raya from there that since they had had a seudah together, it must be that it's mutter to eat from the shechita of Ahav and his men, and that means that a Yisrael is a mumer, even though he's a mumer for this particular issue, and he'll eat non-kosher things in a pinch. But if he is given a knife and he's shechted with it properly, then he's okay. So must be. How else would he be allowed to eat it? So that was the last thing that we learned. And we now want to bring another raya to Rav Anan from the amazing story of Eliyahu and the birds. And this was Eliyahu and the Orvim. And so here's another raya. So this brings us to Lema Bisayale, which is about a quarter of the way down on Heomidah. So Lema Bisayale, let's see if we can bring a raya to Rav Anan from the following story. It says in the Pasuk, V'ha'orvim mevi'im olechem u'basar baboker, v'lechem u'basar be'eret. And this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had actually promised Eliyahu that he's going to be metzaveh the Orvim, and they are going to bring him food. And sure enough, that's exactly what it says. Now, where did that food come from? Since we assume that the birds don't have their own kitchen, where did all of this delicious food come from? Well, we learned that the place, what a beautiful irony, the place that they were being brought from was the very kitchen of the people who were trying to kill him. And that was Bibeit Avram Rav. This was Bibeit Avchi, the Achav. The birds would take the food from the kitchen of Achav and Izebel, and here Eliyahu is running away from them, and they unknowingly are supporting him. True, says the Gemara, but I mean that doesn't prove anything because we have a pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says beferish ve'et ha'orvim tziviti lechal kelchasham. When he told him to go there to Har Sinai, he told him he's going to tell the Orvim, and they're going to take care of him. So I mean, I guess you can rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hechsher. At least some people do, and therefore it was a completely different situation. And that doesn't mean that under normal circumstances you can eat from Achav's kitchen. So al pi ha'dibur shaini. By the way, what does Orvin mean? Does it mean literally birds? Omer Avina, yes, it means Orvim Mamash. Because, I mean, look, otherwise, Bichlal, I mean, obviously the whole thing is basically relying on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah them. How do you know? Maybe it means people. Dilma Trey Gavri Davishmayu Orvin. There were two guys whose name, I mean, we know that Orev was a name that was in use. It's a pasuk. Vayahargu et Orev, Bitsur Orev. So they killed a guy called Orev at a place called Tsur Orev. So obviously the Orev was his actual name. So maybe over here when it says, I've commanded the Orvim, it means I've commanded the Orvim Butcher Brothers Incorporated, and that they should go and they should take care of you. What makes you think it means birdies? Omale, I mean, isn't it a little strange that there were two brothers, the Orvim brothers, and they were both the same name? I mean, like, not really brothers, obviously, I'm exaggerating. But there's two guys that were the name of Orvim, and they were the ones that brought him. Okay, so fine. You don't think that's reasonable? Maybe it's more reasonable than the birds, but okay. You don't think that that's reasonable? So maybe it means two guys from the town of Orev. I mean, we have this a place called Sur Orev. So people who live in Sur Orev are called Orvian, right? So there you go. So the two guys from the town of Orvin, and they supported him. We have the same idea in which people are called al shem their city. So we didn't understand that pasuk. If Aram captured a nara ketana, was she a nara? Was she a katana? V'kashelon kareva nara v'kareva katana. Rabbi Pedat says what it actually is referring to is a little girl, a katana, from the town of Ne'oran. And that is an actual town. It's mentioned in Tanakh. So maybe the same thing is true over here. Orvim are two people from the town of Tzur Orev. No, because I'll tell you, Imkein Orviyim Miboyle. The Torah should have made that clear. Like this, it's very strange that it should say Orvim without clarifying that we mean, of course, the people from Orev. And if it would have done that, it would be like Mitzriyim or Viyim, right? So then it would have said it with two yuds in order to make sure that we don't misunderstand. Let me say, okay. And we got another raya. Another raya for Ravana Namar Shmuel. Hakol Shochatim. So we had that braita that we brought before. We tried to bring a raya to Rava from here. But let's see how we use it for Ravana. Hakol Shochatim Afilu Kuti Afilu Orev Afilu Yisrael Mumar. So now again, we'll go through the same diukim that we went through the first time. When we say Afilu Orev, what are we talking about? Are we talking about an Orev from a family of hemophiliacs who wasn't allowed to get a Milah? I mean, that's a regular guy. I mean, what's the question of what his bodily state is? Benogel Shita Schulet. Elapshita Mumar La Arelut. So it's got to be talking about a guy who is Badafka not getting himself a bris milah. So you see that someone who is a Mumar Ludovar Echad, he's not considered to be a Mumar Lakola Terekula. So then how do you explain the case at the Seifa, which says Vafilo Yisrael Mumar? We just talked about Yisrael Mumar, no? The Oro case. So Vafilo Yisrael Mumar, what does that mean? If it's just a Mumar for some other thing. You know, so maybe this guy is a mumer in refusing to wear tzitzis. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's a mumer in shaving. He always shaves with a razor. That same thing is a mumer la'arelut. So what do we have to say it again for? Ella love, this has got to be talking about a mumer. Now, remember, last time that we brought this braita, when we were trying to bring a raya to Rava, we said, must be referring to a mumer for nevelas, for this very thing, right? You're allowed to trust him even if it's in that very thing. But then we said, no, maybe it's a mumer l'avodah zarah. Here we're doing the exact opposite. And each time we'll be doing it the other way. So maybe it must mean, therefore, mumer l'avodah is kachavim, kiravana. And of course, the answer is that maybe it's the Talmi Rava. So if you go to Rava, we'll say maybe it's a raya to Ravana. And if you go to Ravana to bring it to Rava, then maybe it's a raya to Rava. So therefore, we can't use this braita. Because would not be allowed to shecht. And that's because the Yomar Mar Chamura Avadis Kechavim Shekola Koferba Kimodeba Cholatara Kula. Anybody who is kefer in Avadis Zora is as if he's made a kolatara kula, and of course that implies the opposite. Someone who's made an averes kachavim, so then it's as if he's a mormel kolatara kula, and if he's a mormel kula, then that's a completely different situation. Then he's not allowed to shech. So what must it be? Must be actually not like Ravana. But what is it referring to? It's a mumer to nevelas, which was a mumer to davar, which was like Rava said, that in the event that you have a Yisroel who eats at McDonald's when it's Matei Avon, you're allowed to give him a knife, and he can shecht with that knife. Meitve. What about the braita that seems to run exactly against Ravana? Take a look at this braita. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yamarta lehem, adam ki akriv mikem korban la'shem, min ha'beima, min ha'bakar, min ha'tzon. Now this is talking about someone wants to bring a korban as a nedava. Fine. And it says if it's someone mikem. Now, mikem seems to be saying some of you people are okay, mikem are okay, but not all of you. So I want to make sure that we don't get karbanas from the people I don't like. So what is this telling me? Mikem teaches me the lo kulchem. And that means a mummer is not allowed to bring a karban. We won't accept a karban from a mummer. A Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want his karban. And I can also be medayik that when am I making this distinction? Only mikem. When it comes to Bnei Yisrael, there I'm looking for Bnei Yisrael who are not mumrim. But if a goy is bringing a korban, I really couldn't care less whatever his religious beliefs are. So, b'chem chilakti v'lo b'umot. And then the pasuk continues, min ha-be'ima, min ha-bakar, and so on. So you know what min ha-be'ima means? It means from people that are like animals. So that means I'm ready to include the lowest of the low, they're just like animals. Here we learn, mekablim korbanot miposhei Yisrael, kedei sheyachzeru behem b'teshuva. So we will accept korbanos from people who are rishayim and they're poshim, which is mashma, that they are mamish, the meaning, they're doing, they're being chotei b'mezid. And this tells us we can accept korbanos from them. Now, obviously, we're going to have to figure out what was the mikem that we don't accept and what's the biposhim that we do accept, which we will in a moment. What's the difference between the behemot, so to speak, the human behemot, and the mikem? And why are we makabo these korbanos? Because kedei sheyasru behem b'tshuva. I mean, if we totally throw them out of Klal Yisrael, refuse to even accept a korban from them, a gift, so then they'll just completely lose any connection. They won't even consider doing teshuva. We want to appeal to their connection to Yisrael to bring them back. But this is Parsha Yisrael. But we're not going to accept even from a mumrim chutz min hamumer. So we will not accept from a mumer, and we will not accept people who are menaseches hayayin to avodah zarah, and we will not accept from a mechalo Shabbos b'farhesia. Now, explain to me what these three, I mean, this whole brisa is very confusing. Let's take a look at the beginning. First of all, there seems to be immediately a contradiction in the brisa. First you say, mikem v'lo kuchem, and that's lo tziyat ha-mumer. And then you say that the behema comes to tell me, but we do accept from karbanas from people who are being chayte, b'mezid, and they're persha yisro, and again, so what's the difference? No, that doesn't matter, because I can easily answer that by saying that when we say mikem, and we're not going to accept from a mumer, that's referring to a mumer l'cholatara kula. But the next piece, that may be talking about that he's a mumer l'dover echad. So he, and maybe he'll eat at McDonald's, but he doesn't care, and he doesn't even prefer to eat kosher. But he's not going to be over on other mitzvahs. So mumer l'dover echad, we would like him to be to be able to do teshuv. Okay, so we're going to be makabo from him. Okay, and then we say at the end, but not from a mumer. Now you're really confusing me. So what is this mumer? This is chutz min hamumer, and for someone who's menasech yayin to avodas kechavim, and someone who's mechal Shabbos b'farhesia, that we won't accept. So now, what is the mumer in the end that we don't accept from? Because it can't be referred to mumer l'dara kolot kula, because that was what you started with. Mikem v'lo kulchem meant not to be mekabel from a mumer, and you said that meant a mumer l'dara kolot kula. So why in the world we would say it over again at the end of the bright? That doesn't make any sense. And if it's referring to a mumer l'dover echad, you told me a moment ago that we will be mekabel from a mumer in order for him to be able to do teshuvah. And now you're telling me, but we won't be mekabel from a mumer. So what's going on? El alav, I think the only way to understand it is to say like this, we'll accept korbanos from people who are mumrim if they're only a mumer l'dover echad, but not if that dover echad is to be menasek asayayin. It doesn't mean three things, mumer l'nasek asayayin, a mumer plus nisach hayayin or chil Shabbos. No, It means except for a mummer in regard to these two things. He's a mummer to be menasef yayin, or he's a mummer to be mechal Shabbos. Because those things are connected kol haTorah kula, and they're the equivalent of a mummer kol haTorah kula. That's the only way to read it. But then if that's the case, then it's telling me exactly the opposite of Rav Hanan. Alma mummer l'avodat kochavim is considered to be a mummer kol haTorah kula. And what Rav Hanan was claiming from Shmuel, that you can actually, that was the basis of Rav, you could actually be semech on that person's shchita, is simply, it's not true. A mummer l'avodat kochavim cannot do shchita. Do you have to the Rav Hanan, correct? It's the yufta. So now we know that actually a mummer l'avodat kochavim is considered to be a mummer kol haTorah kula, and we cannot eat from his shchita. So that's the end of that. But the problem is,
Rebbe, just in terms of the geras, I've got hamushumad. Is there a difference? Rebbe keeps saying mummer. I got hamushumad.
Yeah, that's the correct geras. Where do we have mushumad? You
every time Rebbe says mummer, I've got my gemara hamushumad.
You probably have a Steinsaltz Gemara or something.
What's the difference and what's rot?
Mummer. Now, is this the Mokum that we learned this out from? Miocha Nafka. The fact that we cannot bring a carbon nedova, telling me, we just learned it out mikem, right? The Pusik says that Adam ki akriv mikem means lo kulchem, as opposed to the mummer. But how come in this brayta brings a completely different basis? Here it says, "V'im nefesh achat techeteh b'shgaga me'am ha'oretz ba'asotach at mi'mitzvot asher ma'asher lo te'asena." Okay, so there we have, basically, here we're talking about a chatas, not an adava, but it should be the same thing. No, I mean, it says over here in Vayikra, introducing it, that me'am ha'oretz, but that doesn't mean all Amar, it's only some Amar. It's the same diet from the Mem that we had with Mikem, except over here we have it in the Parsha of Chatas, and it's Me Amar Oretz. Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Asher lo te'asena bishkaga ve'ashem. No, you know where we bring that from? Not from the first part of the Pasuk, Nefesh, the nefesh me ama oretz, we bring it from the next words. Ba'asota achat mi mitzvot Hashem asher lo te'asena ve'ashem. What does that mean? Asher lo te'asena ve'ashem. So that means that he did it bishdafka, bishkaga, and that made him immediately feel ashamed, and he goes to bring his carbon, which shows us that we're only talking about someone who, when he finds out, and then it says, so then he brings a carbon right away. What does that show you? That we're talking about someone who would be shav miyadiyato. Had he known that this was usher, he would immediately have stopped doing it. Because of our right, when he finds out he did something wrong, he immediately comes to bring a carbon. So someone who would be aghast at being over on an Isser, and that's a guy who could be maybe carbon ashigigato. But if he doesn't care, and even if you tell him, hey, don't eat that, that's chalev, he doesn't care. He wouldn't be shav miyadiyato. So then he can't bring a carbon either. Eino maybe carbon ashigigato. So this gives us two other bekaras. Forget about the mikem. So here we've got two different explanations. The Tanakama and Rav Shimon ben Yossi. They both end up being the same thing, right? So what's the difference? It's me'am ha'oretz, like the Tanakama said, or it's from the fact that he has to be shav miyadiyato, the way Rav Shimon ben Yossi says. Pravuna pointed out there's a tremendous difference between them. Because if it's a function of changing your mind about the thing that you are doing, and somebody says to you, hey, that's chalev, and you'd stop. So what does that mean? It means that it's the particular thing that you're doing that is the measurement of whether you can bring a karma. But according to the Tanakhama, there's a general thing, mei ama aretz, which would mean that even if there's something that you wouldn't care about, and this is not it. So for instance, Let's take a case of a mumer le'echol chalev. So this guy would eat chalev. But in this case, he made a mistake and he ate blood. And he didn't realize that this stuff was blood. If you would tell him, hey, don't eat that, that's blood, he would stop. Ah, so then there's a big difference between the two shitas, because according to the Tanakhama, since he is a mumer, even though he's a mumer le'echol chalev, and he would have stopped eating dam and would have been a shav miyediato on dam, doesn't matter. He's me'am ha'aretz, and we don't accept it. But according to Rav Shimon ben Yossi, since the minute that he would have said, hey, that's dam, he would have stopped, he would have been shav miyediato, and he would be able to bring a carbon. So, but anyway, look, we still have completely different makaris over here, that someone who is a mummer for this particular thing is certainly not able to bring a carbon. So why did we need to go in the Braita a minute ago? We brought the Braita from Mikem. I mean, so I understand that one is talking about the a carbon that he wants to bring as an adova, but I mean, l'chora, if you're telling me that you can't bring a carbon for that particular thing, I mean, if you're a murmula kolatarakula, which is how we understood the mikam, I mean, it's a kosher can. You certainly shouldn't be able to bring a carbon, no? I mean, why do we need two things? Says the Gemara, isn't it obvious? I mean, one was talking about a carbon chatas. That's what we're dealing with here. The amoretz, me amoretz, basota, achat mikol ha-mitzvot etzor. That's the introduction to carbon chatas. The mikem that we brought before was referring to carbon oila that he's bringing as an adava. And we need both, because yashmina chatat, I would have said, look, this guy is a bum, and this carbon, which is meant to give him a kapara, he does not deserve to bring, because as he's bringing the carbon, he's planning to do the same avera again, like he doesn't care. So how can we bring a carbon for a kapara under such circumstances? That I understand. But to lock him out of an oila, which is a gift, the oila is doran, maybe we would accept a gift. The guy wants to bring a gift, maybe he'll get clothes or whatever. On the other hand, if I would tell you, he cannot bring a gift. Yashmina Oila. I would say, why should we accept a gift from him? It's not a chiev, but all of a sudden this guy's a big tzaddik. So, you know, like he's demonstrating his tzidkas. What do we want to give in to that kind of thing for? Virtue signaling karbonis, that's not for us. Mashenke, I mean, that's because it's not a chiev. Mashenke, somebody does a chait, and he's chayev a chatas. We should allow him to bring a chatas because it's a chiev. It's not his personal thing. So emale kabelmine. Maybe we would say it's okay. That's why we need both of those sukim mikem to tell you the din of nedava. We won't accept it from a mumala kalatarakula and me ama aret. So we won't accept the carbon chatas. Now, so at least we understand the Braita that we brought. But, you know, I'm just curious. You told me that mikem means from, and then you said mina behima. Mina behima means people that are like animals. Now, I mean, that seems to be saying that the word behima is insulting. But is it? I mean, sometimes it's the other way around. You're telling kolecha dechti behima griuto? I mean, that means that he's a low-class person. How about in the Pasuk where it says, Adam uveima toshiyah Hashem? And Rav Yehuda Merav, explain, what does that mean? Elu b'nei Adam. These are Adam who are so arunim bedat. They are tremendous chachamim in terms of their understanding of the world. And yet, they are mesimim atzman kebeima. They act like they're just animals. They don't take any cover. They don't put on any fancy, chief rabbinate begadim, and they just walk around like regular people. And they act like they're nothing special. So you see an Adam and a behema is dafka a mila that there should be Adam, that they act as if they're only behemoths. Now that's a higher level of an Adam. No, that's different. That's because it says Adam and behemoth together. So we understand that this is a full Adam. Well, he acts like a behemoth. But if you just say behemah, mina behemah, from the animals, I mean, the animals are people like animals. We certainly know it doesn't mean that a cow is coming to offer itself as a carbon. I mean, it's got to be talking about an animal person, right? Well, no, I'm not sure. Because, I mean, this whole thing, you're telling me where it says Adam uveima, then it's talking about a higher class Adam, and that's the point, if it's a separate or if it's alone. I mean, not necessarily. Is it a malyuta? Take a look at this pasuk from Yirmiyahu. V'zarati et Beit Yisrael, zera Adam v'zera behema. So I am going to basically, this was the raya that the Gemara brings elsewhere, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so when he throws Yisrael into the Golas, it's a planting. And Klum Adam Zorea, unless he plans to be Kotzer. So that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planting Yisrael in the world, so that ultimately he's going to get back a lot more than what he planted. But meanwhile, the Pashtus is, I'm throwing them into the Golas, they're a bunch of slobs, Zera Adam and Zera Behema. And we know that that means Zera Behema over there means, even though it's together with Zera Adam, it's referring to Amei Haaretz. We darshan it elsewhere. It means people that don't have lo mikra, velo mishnah, velo roshim shotamei lechachomi. That's the whole sugya and seita where we darish this. And it seems that even though we said Adam u Behema, come on, that's different. It says separately Zera Adam and Zera Behema. So Hatamachalke Kroz, Zera Adam Lachud, the Zera Behema Lachud. I told you only where it literally comes together. And over here it does not literally come together. The Zera is separate. There are separate sets here. There's Zera of Adam and there's Zera Behema. I only said it was going together. Okay, so now we're happy with the Braita. Now I just want to get on with this Kusi business, because I'll tell you why. Basically, the dinim of the shechita of the kuti have changed, and they are completely different nowadays, because there were events, very interesting events that the Gemara is going to talk about, which brought a gezeira against the kuti, and they were determined midrabbanan to be goyim kechol davar, and we treat them as if they are not shayach bechol to klal Yisrael. And therefore, for sure, their shechita is not kosher, even if they shecht 100% properly with people seeing and so on, it wouldn't make any difference. It's like the shechita of an akum. So basically, how did these things change? So Omer of Chanan, Omer of Yaakov Bar Idi, Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora, you should know that the dinim that we've been discussing have changed, because Rabbi Gamliel of Beidino, Ninu al shechitat kuti, the Asaruha. So after the time of the Mishnah, this is Rabbi Gamliel, the Rebbe's son, and therefore it's not reflected obviously in the Mishnah, because this was a later Gezerah, and they were going to see the very sweet stories later on, and he was Gezer that they cannot be trusted on anything, and they are considered to be Goyim. It has nothing to do with whether this particular Kuti is reliable, not reliable, unless he's simply misgayer like a regular guy, he is looked at as a guy. Omele Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. You sure? I mean, isn't it possible that what you heard was Shema lo Shema Rabbi Ella Bisheni Sol Emin Al Gabav? Maybe you just heard that Rabbi Gamliel Asered Shchitas Kuti. If there wasn't, like we had said, maybe it's consistent with what we had said. Maybe he was talking about where there was no Yisrael Emet Agabav, and because of that, we can't trust them because of the same old problem of that they're not Makbid on Lifnei Iver. But if we had a Yisrael Emet Agabav, so then everything would be okay. I mean, maybe it's not that he's Mamish Agoy. Said Reb Yaakov Bar Idi to Reb Zera, you know, I mean, it looks like this poor guy, referring to Rabbi Zeira, this guy looks like he never learned a word in his life. What kind of stupid question is that? I understand. Why would Rabbi Gamliel have to make a gezeira on a kusi kishayim Yisrael oimer agabav? We know that they don't hold of lifneiver, and that was from days ago. That would be ridiculous. I mean, so obviously he can't be referring to a case where Yisrael oimer agabav. It must be a real gezeira like we reported it. So let me ask you, did Rabbi Zeira, was he convinced by what Rabbi Yaakov Haredi said about him? Kiblamine or lo kiblamine? So did he accept that that's the real pshat in Rabbi Gamliel? Well, take a look, and I'll prove to you that he certainly did. Because the Yomer Nachum by Yitzchak, Omar, Rabbi Asi, Ani ra'iti ot Rabbi Yochanan, sh'alchal mishkitat kuti, because Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak brings along a maisa in which he saw Rabbi Yochanan actually eating from the shkita that a kuti had done, and I saw Rav Asi also who ate from a shkita of a kuti. And what does that have to do with us? The next piece has to do with us. Rabbi Zeira, when he actually heard this, that Rabbi Yochanan Rav Asi had eaten basar that was a shkita's kuti, he was wondering, how is that? Is it because Lo Shmi Elohu, they simply didn't know about the takana of Rabbi Gamliel, and they only knew the sugya that we had up until this point? Is that why? And they thought it was kosher? But in fact, I Avi Shmi Elohu, Avi Mekabila, had they known from Rabbi Gamliel's takana, they never would have eaten that meat. Or maybe, Dioma Shmi Elohu, maybe they actually knew about the takana of Rabbi Gamliel, and they rejected it. They were not mekabel the takana of Rabbi Gamliel. We'll see later on why in the world they held that it's not chal. Hada Pashit Lenafshe, and then Rabbi Zeira said to himself, look, it must be that they knew about the takana and it was rejected, because Isaac Adaitach, if you're going to tell me that lo shmielu, v'iavi shmielu avi mekabli la, if they didn't know, but had they known about it, then they wouldn't have eaten that shkita, then how could it happen that they would have eaten it? Echim istayu milte l'mechal isuro, is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have allowed them to eat something that they would have preferred not to eat if they knew about it? I mean, look, hashtabem, tanshal tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevita kalal yadam. If even Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer's donkey, who refused even tevel and was machber itself, didn't want to eat tevel, even if it was kosher for donkeys, but refused to eat it, not this donkey ain't going to eat no tevel. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the behema wouldn't be nichshal because it belonged to its tzaddik. So alachas kama v'kama, tzaddikim atzman. Well, over here, Lo Kosher Kein HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow a tzaddik himself. If he won't even allow to eat the animal, he's certainly not going to allow the tzaddik to eat something that is not lefi their own psak. So it must be that, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi, who ate something, it's got to be that they, in fact, knew about Rabbi Gamliel's takana, and they didn't accept it. And therefore, for them, it was actually mutter. So now, this proves that Yitzchak HaDaitach lo kiblu amine. If you believe that Rabbi Zeira didn't accept the teichach of Rabbi Yaakov Haredi, who says that he's an idiot who never learned a blot of Gemara in his life, you know, he obviously accepted that, because if he wasn't, so he should have said, what's the problem? Maybe, if I'm right, maybe the case over here that they ate was a case where there was the Yisrael Oymin Al-Gabav, and there was nothing wrong with the Shechita of Akuti. And the Rabbi Gamliel is talking about, like I used to think, Kishe'en Yisrael Oymin Al-Gabav, and I still think that way, but he didn't say that, did he? He brought a raya that it couldn't possibly have happened. So you see for sure, Elalav Shmamina Kiblamine. It's obvious that he accepted what it was that Rabbi Yaakov Haredi said, and he knew that the takana of Rabbi Gamliel was actually absolute. There's no way that you can eat from a Shchitas Kuti. It has nothing to do with knowing that it was done properly. Shmamina, that he, in fact, was mekabel this. Now we're going to have to find out what was behind the Gezerah. But that, Bezrat Hashem, we shall do tomorrow.